Welcome, and thank you all for standing by. Today's call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. All participants are in a listen-only mode until the question-and-answer session for today's conference. At that time, you may press star 1 on your phone to ask a question. I would now like to turn the call over to Erwin. You may begin.
Yes, sir. Okay. All right. Good afternoon, everybody, and thank you for making time for the webinar today, or good morning, depending on where you may be located across the country. As the operator said, my name is Erwin Gyanchanani, and I'm the Acting Assistant Director for Computer and Information Science and Engineering, or the SIES Director here at the National Science Foundation. And together with Rance Cleveland, as well as a number of program officers across the directorate, it's our pleasure to welcome you to this webinar today about our newly launched program, the Principles and Practice of Scale Systems, or PPOS, as we like to call it. As many of you know, over the course of the last 7 or 8 years, SIES has supported a series of programs that have focused on innovation across the entire computing stack. And these programs have focused on improving performance and scalability of computer systems in light of the limits of Moore's Law and Dennard scaling. So for example, as many of you know, we've invested more than $75 million during this period in our Exploiting Parallelism and Scalability, or XPS, program, and also in our Scalable Parallelism in the Extreme, or SPX, program. XPS and SPX because we love to use acronyms around here. But in all seriousness, we have seen, as a result of these programs and these investments, many of you do outstanding work on novel hardware and software approaches that have driven significant performance improvements in our systems and applications. At the same time, we've also heard from many of you in the community over the years. As a matter of fact, XPS and SPX have their roots in community workshops and a community consensus white paper that was developed in 2012, in that time frame. And just last summer, in June of 2019, there was a workshop at FCRC that explored future directions for parallel and distributed computing. Our goal with that workshop was to understand future directions in this area, and we were really pleased to see the resultant report, which offered a variety of research challenges in systems design and implementation, and challenges that are particularly pronounced as a result of the evolution and proliferation of AI techniques, including machine and deep learning capabilities. And so we're really delighted today to be able to kick off PPOS, which we hope will constitute a multi-year, nearly $90 million effort by this directorate to support a community of researchers from across multiple size disciplines. You'll hear about how every division and office within this directorate is engaged in this effort. And our goal here really is to advance the basic research on the scalability of modern computing systems and applications. Our intent will be to foster the development of principles that lead to rigorous and reproducible artifacts of the design and implementation of large-scale systems and applications. And these principles might include guarantees on correctness and accuracy, on robustness, and on security and privacy as well. And I really want to emphasize, and I think you'll hear it during the webinar, that PPOS specifically seeks to fund projects that span the entire hardware, software, computing stack at the end of the day. Before I close, I want to be sure to acknowledge the program officers within SIES who've been instrumental in our investments in this space over the years, and who most recently have had the vision that has that's now embodied in the PPOS program that you see on the street today. I'd especially like to thank Anindya Banerjee and Vipin Chowdhury for their leadership of this effort, and I'd also like to thank all of the participating program officers who provided vision and effort to this activity, including Funda Ergen, Wei Ding, Sami Khan, Tracy Kimbrell, Mimi McClure, Yan Yan Yang, and Rudy Eigenman, a new join who just started in the last week or so. Hopefully I didn't miss anybody when I did that. We're very excited about this program, and we're very much looking forward to your ideas and your research directions as we move forward. So with that, I'll turn things over to Rance, our Division Director for Computing and Communication Foundations, to say a few words, and then we'll get going with the program description.
All right. Thank you, Erwin. As Erwin said, my name is Rance Cleveland, and I'm the Division Director for Computing and Communication Foundations, or CCF. So CCF supports research in the mathematical, scientific, and technological foundations of computing. The PPAS program naturally touches on many of these topics that are central to the CCF mission, from algorithms, communications, and computer architecture to programming languages, verification, and software testing. The program also intersects many of the core intellectual bases for other divisions within SAIS, including the computing and network systems and information and intelligence systems divisions, as well as the Office for Advanced Cyber Infrastructure. It is therefore quite fitting that the PPAS program is receiving significant support from all parts of SAIS as a result. The scale and breadth of this support is important because PPAS is addressing a monumental challenge. How to continue the breakneck pace of advancement in computing performance, defined broadly, even as Moore's Law and Dennard scaling are reaching the ends of their runs as the main drivers of innovation and application possibilities. When Moore and Dennard reign supreme, application developers could in many cases not worry about the hardware platforms their applications ran on. The masses of performance improvements enabled by these phenomena, namely Moore's Law and Dennard scaling, lifted all boats. We're now entering a new era where achieving the same pace of transformative computing innovation will require a refamiliarization of different communities, such as algorithms, hardware, networking, software, and systems, with each other's domains, and the development of new abstractions and paradigms to handle the domain-specific challenges that we are already confronting. The PPAS program, with its combination of large investments and interdisciplinary focus, stands to play a major role in ensuring our ability to continue delivering revolutionary applications to society. So with that, let me echo Erwin in thanking you for being here today. And I will now turn the floor over to Funda Ergun, a program officer at CCF, who will be the master of ceremonies for the WebEx.
Thank you, Erwin and Brent. Good afternoon. We're Funda Ergun, Bipin Chaudhary, Wei Ding, Rudy Eigenman, Tracy Kimbrell, Mimi McClure, and Yuan Yuan Yang from NSF SAIS. We're the program director for the Principles and Practice of Scalable Systems, PPAS program. In this webinar, we'll provide a brief overview of the PPAS program and describe some of the most important things you need to know about submitting a proposal. This webinar is intended to orient the research community to the PPAS competition, summarize the program and peer review criteria, and answer questions. Here's an outline of today's presentation. We'll start with a description of the PPAS program, followed by an overview of the NSF 20-534 solicitation. We'll then take questions from you, the audience. Some of the questions we have already received are included at the end of the presentation. This document will be available on the program website. Next, we talk about the program, its priorities, and how we implement it. The aim of the Principles and Practice of Scalable Systems PPAS program is to support researchers from multiple disciplines to perform basic research on scalability of modern applications, systems, and tool chains. The intent is that these efforts will foster the development of principles for rigorous and reproducible artifacts for design and implementation of large-scale systems and applications. These principles and methodologies should simultaneously provide guarantees on correctness and accuracy, robustness and security and privacy of systems, applications, and tool chains. Importantly, PPAS specifically seeks to fund projects that the entire hardware-software stack. If you're familiar with the previous programs, XPS and SPX, which are discontinued, some important aspects of this new program will be recognizable. We're looking for collaborations across some disciplines of computing, including, but not limited to, those shown. XPS and SPX require collaboration across two or more sub-disciplines. PPAS requires at least four. Achieving scalability will require coordination across multiple disciplines, such as computer architecture, high-performance computing, HPC, programming languages and compilers, security and privacy, systems, and theory and algorithms. Cross-cutting concerns such as performance, correctness and accuracy, security and privacy, robustness and and reliability, domain-specific design, and heterogeneity must be taken into account. Modern computing systems are increasingly being implemented by composing heterogeneous computing components and continually changing memory systems. Applications are becoming more domain-specific and highly distributed. Traditional boundaries between hardware-oriented and software-oriented disciplines are increasingly blurred. In this context, we require new abstractions, algorithms, and system stacks in proposals that include content and leverage expertise in at least four different areas, some of which we mentioned on the previous slide. Proposals should describe the targeted distributed applications, systems, and platforms. Proposals should also define notions of scale and describe theoretical and experimental evaluation with respect to the full hardware-software stack while rigorously addressing correctness and accuracy, security, and privacy. And finally, proposals should provide evidence of end-to-end scalability based on proposed theories and abstractions. PI teams must bring together expertise in at least four distinct sub-disciplines, including but not limited to those shown previously. Now, we'll describe the specific solicitation opportunity, NSF 20-534, including classes of investments, PI eligibility, and review criteria. The PPOP program will accept two classes of proposals. Only planning grants are solicited in 2020. Large proposals will be accepted starting in 2021. In 2021 and 2022, both planning and large proposals will be accepted. In 2023 and 2024, only large proposals will be accepted. Planning grants will support small-scale efforts to build teams and formulate goals, and proof-of-concept research efforts are appropriate. Large projects are full-scale efforts for full-stack solutions requiring collaborations spanning multiple areas of expertise. Proposals for planning awards must not exceed a total of $250,000 and 1 year duration. Proposals for large awards must not exceed $1 million per year and maybe 4 or 5 years in duration. Note that these are total budget numbers for projects which may include multiple collaborative proposals. Projects in the upper portion of this range must be exceptional in terms of scientific impact. Proposed funding amounts should be commensurate with the work being proposed, the size of the community that will be affected, and the level of impact anticipated. Up to 27 planning awards and up to 16 large awards are anticipated during the 5 years, subject to the availability of funds. With anticipated total funding of $86.75 million, up to $6.75 million is expected to be available for planning awards, and up to $80 million is expected to be available for larger awards, subject to the availability of funds. In 2020, we anticipate funding up to 15 planning awards. All proposals to this solicitation, namely the planning and large classes, will have the same deadlines in each year. In 2020, only planning proposals will be accepted, and the deadline is March 30th, 2020. The deadlines for remaining fiscal years will be in January and are listed in the solicitation. We expect the review process to take place in May and June of this year and anticipate making announcement of awards in fall 2020. The eligibility criteria for the PPOP program are as follows. Proposals may only be submitted by universities and colleges and nonprofit, non-academic organizations. The PI needs to be in a tenured or tenure-track position or primary full-time paid appointment in research/teaching position. Please review the solicitation for details. Now we'll cover supplementary documents to be included in the proposal and a single copy document NSF will need for the merit review process. Additional supplementary documents include a data management plan of up to 2 pages and postdoctoral mentoring plan if the project includes trainees. These are standard NSF requirements. PFAS reviewers will pay close attention to the data management plan. For large proposals, a management and coordination plan is also required with a 3-page limit. The specific roles of the principal investigators, co-principal investigators, other senior personnel, and paid consultants at all institutions involved must be outlined. Also, there must be a description of how the project will be managed across institutions and disciplines. Identification of the specific coordination mechanisms that will enable cross-institution and or cross-discipline scientific integration, and pointers to the budget line items that support these management and coordination mechanisms. Letters of collaboration, if any, should include documentation of unfunded collaborative arrangements of significance to the proposal. Letters of collaboration should be limited to stating the intent to collaborate and should not contain endorsement or evaluation of the proposed project. The required format for letters of collaboration is in the NSF Proposal and Award Policies and Procedures Guide, PAPPG. Not following the guidelines will result in your proposal being returned without review. Additional supplementary documents also include project personnel and partner organizations. These are required for all award categories. You must provide current, accurate information for all personnel and institutions involved in the project. NSF staff will use this information in the merit review process to manage conflicts of interest. The list must include all PIs, co-PIs, senior personnel, paid, unpaid consultants or collaborators, sub-awardees, postdocs, and project-level advisory committee members. See details in the solicitation. As for all proposals received by NSF, PPAS reviewers and panelists will be asked to consider the intellectual merit and broader impact for each proposal for their reviews, panel discussions, and panel summaries. In addition to these standard criteria, PPAS reviewers and panelists will also be asked to consider additional review criteria that are unique to the PPAS program. We'll provide more detail on these in a few moments. When evaluating NSF proposals, reviewers are asked to consider what the proposers want to do, why they want to do it, how they plan to do it, how they will know if they succeed, what benefits would accrue if the project is successful. These issues apply both to the technical aspects of the proposal, the intellectual merits, and the way in which the project may make broader contributions to broader impact. In addition to the standard NSF review criteria, the proposals will be evaluated on PPAS review criteria. Proposals must describe applications, systems, and platforms that will be studied, measures of scalability, and plans to evaluate them theoretically and experimentally are necessary. Design principles applying to the full hardware and software stack must be elucidated. Relevance to the PPAS program must be supported. For planning grants only, plans for forming a team of PIs for a large project must be included. We now invite your questions. While we wait for your questions from the audience, we would like to address a few questions we have already received. A key question concerns the limits on the number of proposals an individual may participate in under the solicitation, NSF 20-534. An individual may participate as PI, co-PI, or other senior personnel on at most 2 planning grant proposals and at most 1 large proposal each year. Note that any individual whose biographical sketch is provided as part of the proposal will be considered as senior personnel in the proposed activity, with or without financial support from the project. Additionally, there are limits on the number of awards through the 5-year life of the program. An individual may serve as PI on at most 2 planning grants and 1 large award. In the event that any individual exceeds these limits, submitted in excess of the limit will be returned without review. No exceptions will be made. must be received by 5 p.m., the submitter's local time, on the established deadline date. Failure to submit by 5 p.m. submitter's local time will result in the proposal not being accepted. Please carefully read and follow the instructions followed in the solicitation itself and the NSF proposal and award policies and procedures guide, PAPPG. If you need additional help preparing and submitting your proposal, we recommend that you contact your institution's sponsored project office. You may either use grants.gov or Fastlane to apply. You may be wondering which of the principles and practice should be emphasized more. A proposal should emphasize both principles and practice equally. Please see the solicitation-specific review criteria for more information. You may also be wondering about the notion of scalability we are looking for. We'll leave this up to you and ask you to be sure to define it for reviewers. You may be wondering whether it's required to first obtain or try to obtain a planning grant to be eligible for the large competition. It is not. You may also be wondering what's expected in a planning grant proposal. The purpose is to develop capacity for a large project and to demonstrate readiness. Preliminary studies and team building activities are appropriate. Of course, a vision for the outcomes of the large project is important. On behalf of the National Science Foundation and the PFAS team, we thank you for participating in this webinar. The slides and the script for this webcast, as well as an audio recording, will be available at http://www.nsf.gov/events/. On that page, you'll need to look for this webcast among the list of events. You can email questions to ppos@nsf.gov for later inclusion in an FAQ document, but we won't be answering email questions in this live session. You can also find contact details for all program officers who are involved in the PPAS program on the solicitation webpage. We'll now open the line for live questions.
We will now begin our question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 from your phone and speak your name clearly when prompted. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 from your phone. One moment as we wait for any questions. Our first question comes from Ariane Gawani. Your line is now open.
Okay. Hi. Thank you so much again for the presentation. So just a couple of quick questions. So regarding the timeline, so if we submit a planning grant for this March, we are also eligible to submit a large grant in January 2021?
That is correct.
Okay. And then if in that case, because this will be two proposals, both of them 15 pages of document, what is the expectation in terms of the content similarity between the two? I guess what I'm saying, again, you know, I have been working with my colleagues on this idea. I would imagine we have a four-year plan. Again, I'm wondering, like, you know, if we put all the four-year plan in a planning grant, then, you know, how do we should, you know, divide the content between this planning and the large grants, right? So because this is two separate proposals, essentially same but separate proposals.
Okay, so let me summarize the question here. You're asking how would you write the planning grant and large grants and whether they can have overlaps if you're submitting them around the same time. So the purpose of the two grants or two awards are very different, right? So in planning grants, you are trying to show the readiness for being able to deliver on a large award. And then the large award is potentially to execute on a plan. So I think the contents naturally would be quite different, though I can see that there could be slight overlaps because the vision is probably not going to change between the two if you do continue on the same vision. So you can have those kinds of overlaps, but overall, they're very different.
Okay. So mostly in the planning grant, it's more like about the execution for a preliminary projects towards the large grant, something like that, and mostly maybe kind of a deep background and motivation of why the problems is difficult and important, something like that?
Well, that, and you need to show that you have a plan to be ready for a large grant.
I see.
And you can build the capacity, and it may require some initial work, because there are going to be a lot of team members with different disciplinary expertise. So you need to have that readiness incorporated.
Okay. All right. So ideally in the planning proposal, even we already show some initial work, and of course for the large there will be more works there. We have
right. Or you may need to do some initial work to show that you are ready for a large grant. So do that.
Okay. Okay. I think that's it for me for now. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
Our next question comes from Jaswad Sazam from University of South Carolina. Your line is now open.
Hi. This is Ramtin Zand, University of South Carolina. I actually have a follow-up question. And also a couple of small questions. The follow-up question is that to understand the planning proposal better, we are actually in the first year proposing what we're going to do in 1 year as the whole team to prepare everything for 4 or 5 year project. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And so that being said, it comes to my second question that we need to have the complete team, even in the planning step, right?
Correct, but you may also have plans to figure out how to add other team members as well. So if you have a planning grant and then you subsequently have a larger grant, there's no reason to have the same team. You can always add or delete members because you can write a large grant without even writing a planning grant.
I understand. I totally understand it. The other question I have here is that when we talk about the software and the hardware stack, so our idea is that we have a team that we can build from the device level and coming to the fabrication and go all the way to the circuit architecture, specifically for AI and neuromorphic architectures. So is it too much low level for this proposal, starting from a device and material science and building up to the architecture, or you want to start with conventional platforms like GPUs and whatever we have right now? In other words, can it be a little more exotic with new technologies and having a team that can make that possible, or you prefer to have something based on the existing technology?
Yeah, so of course we are looking at novel and exotic things if they are going to deliver. But I don't think we are targeting this for materials at that level or fabrication. It is going from hardware architecture and above.
I understand. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. I don't have any other questions for now.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from Ken Chu. Your line is now open.
Hello, I have two questions. So the first question is, are people from DOE considered eligible? I wasn't quite sure based on the way the criteria was defined.
Okay. So as a PI, co-PI, senior investigator, you have to be associated with a university. Now, there are DOE employees who have joint appointments. So they can wear the hat of the university, and in that role, they can be participating. Further, you can always have a sub-award where the work can be done in the labs.
Okay. So, and then the second question is kind of a follow-on to the hardware-software question. So are you looking for, like, I mean, so this is kind of the complement to the previous question. So if a proposal uses existing hardware, such as existing GPUs or CPUs, but the software kind of goes down to the hardware, or at least kind of meets the hardware, is that considered to include the hardware, or are you looking for actually like a new hardware design?
New hardware design is not required. So you can use existing hardware as well.
Okay. Okay. Great. So that covers it then.
Okay. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Abella Chavu. Your line is now open.
Hello? We can't hear you. Maybe you are on mute.
Abula.
Okay. Maybe we can move to the next question.
Our next question comes from Ishan Ramajalan. Your line is now open.
Hello?
Is this for Kishore Ramachandran?
Yeah, go ahead, Kishore. We can hear you.
Okay, so a couple of clarification questions. The first question is the length of the planning grant proposal. Is it the full 15 pages?
Yeah, maximum of 15, yes.
Okay. The second question is, if I submit a planning grant proposal this year and then it flesh it out to be a full proposal next year, obviously there's going to be a lot of overlap between the two. And a comment that I heard from you all earlier is that the two have to be different, but that is if it is being submitted in the same year. But if I submit a planning grant this year and a full proposal next year, there'll be a lot of overlap, and that's fine, right?
No, so, I mean, how you write your proposals is up to you, but looking at the expectation from a planning proposal and a large proposal, I would not envision that there would be too much overlap. In the sense, in one case, you're trying to do the planning activity. In the other case, you're going to actually talk about how you will do it. But as I said earlier, there will be some overlap. But I would think that would be a minor overlap.
I was thinking more thematically. Thematically, it may be the same.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you. That answers my question. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Arvel Shurasu. Your line is now open.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, so this is me. Hi, I'm Abhiram Srivastava from Arizona State University. And actually, thanks for clarifying what should go in the planning proposal. I just wanted to pick your brains a little bit about more on that, as in what kind of activities do you think would be a part of a planning proposal? Like you already mentioned, like, building the team, right, identifying the team, and also laying the groundwork. But, like, if you could give more details about that, for example, is organizing a workshop also a valid planning?
Yeah, so I think the things you listed, all of them are fine. You can organize a workshop as well to try and build a community or to get some teams going. We are not being very prescriptive on what you can do. I think it is up to you as the proposer to think of ideas of how to bring about a planning grant. But specifically the question on workshop, yes, you can do that.
So I think the question then becomes, so even if the vision is very good, right, that you wanted, that what you want to ultimately achieve is very good, but could the proposal be rejected because you're planning, the things that you're doing for planning are not very good, but even though the reviewers think that the ultimate product is compelling. So that's just a minor nuance.
Yeah, so in the planning grant, you have to convince the reviewers that you could plan to have something done so that you can actually be ready for a large proposal.
Okay, so I mean, I'll just play devil's advocate. I mean, in a very extreme case, if somebody is ready for the large proposal, then I mean, it's really very hard to write. Then they could be rejected on a planning grant that you're not doing enough planning.
Note that planning grants are different than the large grants, and you don't have to have a planning grant written before you can write or get awarded a large grant.
Thank you.
I hope that sort of answers that question.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from Vanya Stoneyberg. Your line is now open.
Hello. Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes, so I have two questions. One is, how much should we focus on application versus system? I saw in the proposal description that both support for system and applications are needed. Then are we going to say we're going to support one category of application or some specific kind of application? Could you elaborate on that a little bit more?
Right. So, no, you can pick your application focus. We don't mandate any application focus. Also note that we said you have to have four different areas to be targeted. And so you have to pick at least four areas to target. But in terms of application, it can be any application that you feel is worthwhile.
So, as long as that application is large scale?
Yes.
Okay. Got it. Thank you. The second question is, in the planning proposal, what's the expectation on things like broader impacts, education activity, BPC? I mean, for larger grant, of course, there should be a lot of content on those, but in the planning for just 1 year time period, I wonder what realistically can be accomplished and what's being expected here.
So I think in the planning grant, you have to talk about what you plan to do towards those activities, right? So what is the potential impact of doing those activities if you do get a large award? So it is all planning towards delivering on research and broader impact and those kind of things. And to do that, are you also in some way using the broader impacts, right? Do you have the right team in place?
Okay, I see. So if I understand correctly, this is more a description of what would be expected in the large grant. It's not things to be accomplished just for the one-year planning period. Is that right?
No, not really. You also have to have things that you will accomplish in your planning grant in order to be able to convince people that you are going to deliver on the large grants. So as an example, for looking at involvement of underrepresented groups, well, you want to plan for that in the large grant, but you could do that planning with participation from underrepresented groups. So that does reflect broader impact for the planning grant itself.
Okay, so for the 1 year period of time in the planning grant, some results on broader impacts, BPC, those are expected as well. It's not just to say we're going to have what kind of activity to plan for the 5 year, but for that 1 year, something is expected as well.
Right. So I think the expectation is that in order to accomplish your planning for the large grant, you may involve, say, underrepresented groups, that becomes a broader impact. I'm just giving an example, right?
Mm-hmm.
There might be many
right.
such opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Right.
Our next question comes from Owen Arden. Your line is now open.
Hi, this is Owen Arden. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Great. I guess I just had a quick question whether there were any expectations of collaborations between multiple institutions, or will you know, PIs that form teams in the within the same institution be given equal weight as other kinds of collaborations?
Yeah, there's no requirement that multiple institutions be involved. The PIs need to have the right expertise to span those four, at least those four areas that you choose.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Alice Cardigas. Your line is now open.
Hello.
Hi, this is Alice and Conigas from the University of Hawaii. And my question was primarily answered, I think, already because I was asking what role do applications play in terms of the four areas. However, if you could just note maybe a little bit, elaborate a little bit more on would perhaps in the planning grant demonstrating scalability of the application then going forward with a large grant, would that be appropriate and should we pick more than one application area to help?
Yeah, we don't mandate how many or which application you choose. We leave it up to you to decide that.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, the question was primarily already answered. Thank you.
Okay. Yes, thank you.
Our next question comes from Andrew Lumpson. Your line is now open.
Hi, thank you. just
Hello.
To clarify a couple of things. So if, I guess first, when do you expect the awards to be made for this round of planning grants? Because we, you know, if we wanted to do a planning grant, you know, this near-term submission and then a subsequent large submission in January. That could be a pretty tight schedule unless the awards are made quickly. And second question is, so I have a dual appointment with University of Washington and PNNL. Yeah, and I understand it's okay to be a participant. What are the guidelines in actually being a PI?
Okay. Yeah, so we expect to make the award for planning grant for this year in fall, so early fall. And the next deadline for the large ones are certainly earlier than the following fall. So if you are looking at writing the large based totally on your planning grant this year, then you may want to wait for another year if that's required. Because the large grants, the proposals are for the next 4 years, every year. So that answers the first question. And of course, you can also have a large proposal submitted next year in January as well. The second question was on you wearing two hats. So with the UW hat as a faculty there, you can certainly submit a proposal. But I think what you cannot do is use that money towards your salary off for DOE. It should be the salary component of the university.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep, thank you.
Asher Rumatalan, your line is now open.
Hello?
Ashen, your line is now open.
Hello?
And our next question comes from Marco Brooklyn. Your line is now open.
Hi. I think I have a follow-up question regarding the structure of the project description of the planning grant. Is there any specific structure that you're expecting to see?
No, we don't have a specific structure. I would just advise to be cognizant of the PPAS specific review criteria for the planning grants. So try to make sure you address all of those, but it follows the standard 15-page project description.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Our next question comes from Benjamin Rican. Your line is now open.
Yes, I had a question regarding the planning grant. You mentioned that part of the proposal could be in putting certain experts together. But in that case, are we still required to address at least, address how we will be making progress towards the four different research areas?
Yes, absolutely.
And then a follow-up question, is there a requirement in terms of, having one expert for each of those four research areas? So essentially, four researchers that are in charge of addressing those research areas, or could you have, say, two or three that kind of cover the four areas?
Yeah, I think you can have different number of people, but you need to show and convince the reviewer that expertise across different areas exists. So, yeah, potentially you can have a person who will have expertise in two of those areas,
mm-hmm.
and you have covered that.
Okay, great. Thank you. That answers my question.
Thank you.
Sipong Xing, your line is now open.
This is Xipeng Shen from North Carolina State University. Thanks for the presentation. A clarification question. So for the large grant, the managed plan is required, but for planning grant, can we also submit a plan, or is it something you expect to see?
No, so for the planning grant, you can't have the extra seepage management plan.
Okay.
All within the 15 pages.
All right, thanks.
Okay.
Our next question comes from Scott Solar. Your line is now open.
Yes, hello. I was wondering, just to clarify what you mean by an application, although you said it could be anything, could it be something within computer science, or is it sort of by your definition an application is outside computer science?
No, the application can be computer science as well.
Okay, thank you.
We currently have no questions in queue. We currently have no questions in queue. Our next question comes from Didro. Your line is now open.
Hello.
I think you have a lot of background noise.
Our next question comes from Kyle Eason. Your line is now open.
Hello?
Yes, hi.
Hi, I have a question. Must the proposal cover all four areas or one or two are okay?
No, at least four of those areas have to be covered.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Sandro Tolfa. Your line is now open.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. We can barely hear you.
Yeah, sorry. I'm just showing with my anyway, so I have two questions.
Could you speak up or maybe get closer to your microphone? We can barely hear you.
Is it better now?
A bit better, but if you could be a bit louder.
Sorry. Is it better now?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Yeah. So I have a question on the application. Now, if you're proposing something that's very fundamental and used across a lot of applications, then do we need to have a specific application component, or we can use application used in a lot of applications and move on
there? Okay, so I barely heard the question, but let me try to repeat that. You were asking if it is required to have an application, or you can have certain computer science stuff which is applicable to lots of different applications. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. So I think you need to clearly articulate how it is going to impact particular applications. If you're enabling multiple applications to be impacted, that should be fine.
And I have another question on the planning proposal. So there are four components that you have to now, suppose we have like people from three components, and our planning proposal, part of planning proposal is that we want to form a team that addresses all the four areas. Is that something a planning proposal can do, or we need to have the four people in the proposal at the planning stage?
Okay, so I really could not make out your question. Maybe you can try calling again with a different phone.
Okay.
Because we can barely hear you.
Okay, I'll try it. Thanks.
Sorry about that.
Our next question comes from Yohong Yang. Your line is now open.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, I have a question about the time between the planning ground this year and the large ground next year. Basically, based on the timeline of awarding, if awardee of a planning ground is not able to sum into a larger ground of the same idea. That's what I feel like because the timeline or the deadline. Is that correct?
Yeah, so the time that you would have starting fall and then the next deadline is shorter than a year. So your planning grant could potentially go beyond the start of your or the window where you will submit the large proposal. That is correct. What was your question?
I mean, my question is if a team is awarded a planning ground in 2020,
right,
and he's not able to submit the similar idea in the next, in the 2021 for large ground. Is that right?
So you can, but you don't have to. You can have multiple planning grants, or you can have planning grants and large award. So we allow for two planning grants and a large grant to be submitted the same year, and through the life of the project or the solicitation, you can have up to two planning awards and one large award.
I'm referred to the idea of the same, you know, they have the same team, the same idea, they want to develop some planning work, then they are ready to submit a large grant in 2021, but since it's overlapped, they have to wait for 1 year to 2022 to submit a large grant.
That could be a prudent choice, but we leave it up to you to do that.
Okay. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Marco Brunkley. Your line is now open.
Yeah, hi. I had another question, actually. Just a clarification on one of your previous answers. You mentioned, if I understood, that in the planning grant, we can also explain the, how we are going to expand our team towards other professors for the large grant. Is that correct? If yes, can you elaborate a little bit more? So does that mean we can have maybe like two out of the four topics covered, but we explain how we are going to cover the other two, or?
Yes, that's correct. You could potentially do that. So you may not have the entire team in place, but you would have mechanisms or planning done to create the team to be able to execute on a large project.
I see. So, like, it could. How would you consider like a good plan in the sense that we're gonna collaborate with this guy, but you know, what is that you consider that is like a proof that we will be able to do that?
So we can't give you pointers on how you would go about writing a planning grant, but I think what you stated earlier, and I said that you can. Or use the planning grant to build a team.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Our next question comes from Fanye Stoneyberg. Your line is now open.
Thank you. I just got another question on application side. So to validate or evaluate something really large scale, I think people from just the university academia may not necessarily have the resources, so it's very likely we may need to collaborate with people from the industry. Now, on that regard, what's the position or expectation collaborating with industry in the U.S. here or internationally? For example, companies in China, because they have, you know, really large amount of data and infrastructure and everything. What's the, you know, expectation there? Is it allowed at all?
So I think academic collaborations are certainly allowed, so long as they are allowed by the U.S. government. But no transfer of NSF money can happen to any foreign entity. So you couldn't pay for any, the NSF money cannot go to a foreign entity. But if you have collaborators there, it's fine to collaborate.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Greg Young. Your line is now open.
Hello?
Hi, I have a question on the planning grant. So my question is on the budget for the planning grant. Is it acceptable to support research to gather initial results so that it can support the large grant?
Yes, you can.
Okay, thank you.
We currently have no questions in queue at this time.
Please dial star one on your phone.
Our next question comes from Jonny Javon. Your line is now open.
Yeah, my name is Jean-Baptiste Chena. I just wanted to know, is it required to have four different PIs for the four different for the four different areas, or could it be three PIs for four areas, two PIs for four areas? How does it work?
It needs to cover four areas, and the PI should have the relevant expertise. So the numbers don't have to match one-on-one.
Okay, thank you. So we could have a PI that covers two areas, that's fine. Thank you.
Correct.
Our next question comes from Padiyal Dya. Your line is now open.
Hello?
Our next question comes from Padiyal Dya. Your line is now open.
Hello, we can't hear you.
Padiyal, your line is now open.
Maybe you are on mute. You could probably try calling back using a different phone.
We currently have no questions in queue. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1.
It's about 2:05. We'll wait another couple of minutes. If you have a question, please dial *1 on your phone. And of course, you can always email us at ppos@nsf.gov for any other questions.
We have one question coming from Dutch Row. Your line is now open.
Hello?
Hello? Yes, hello? Hello? Can you hear me? Yeah, there seems to be a lot of background noise. I can barely hear you. Our next question comes from
Padiyal
Das. Your line is now open.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes. Hi.
I'm not sure whether you got my name correctly or not. It was Sajol Das.
Hi, Sajol.
Hi, Vipin. I think probably your last answer to the last question might have actually answered my question. So, although we have to target 4 specialty areas, they all can be in the same department, all the PIs, or we have to look for interdisciplinary backgrounds in different disciplines or departments?
No, so the expertise is what is more important.
Okay.
Rather than which department they are housed in.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Our next question comes from Jeffrey Fox. Your line is now open.
Hi. Thank you very much for the webinar. In counting areas, does an application count as an area or not? I assume not, but maybe it does.
So application will also count as an area.
So I can have an application and that counts as one of my 4 areas.
Correct. And we say 4, so you don't have to always restrict yourself to 4.
We currently have no questions in queue.
Again, if you have questions, please dial *1 on your phone. Alternately, you can also email us at ppos@nsf.gov after the webinar is over.
We have one question coming from Alexei Tumano. Your line is now open.
Hello, this is Alexei from Georgia Tech.
Hello.
Hi. My question was if we are planning to write a grant, the planning proposal, across multiple institutions, do we have to submit two separate proposals, or are we co-authoring a single proposal? And the follow-up question to that is, basically, do we need to explicitly state what the budget breakdown is going to be across two institutions? Thank you.
Right. So planning proposal would be submitted as a general proposal. So if there are two institutions, that would be a collaborative proposal. And so each proposal will have corresponding budget.
So you're saying that if there are two institutions involved, they would submit two separate proposals, but with the total sum not exceeding 250K, right?
Well, it's technically separate proposals, but they are part of a collaborative proposal.
Okay, so they would need to cross-reference each other somehow so that NSF can put them together, right?
So when you write a collaborative proposal, I don't know if you've written collaborative proposal, but that is the mechanism to do it. They will be linked.
Okay, got it. Yeah, so there's already a mechanism for that. Understood.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, thank you.
We currently have no questions in queue. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 from your phone. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 from your phone. We currently have no questions in queue.
If you have any questions, please dial star 1 on your phone. Or after the webinar is over, you may also email the program directors at pbus@nsf.gov. We'll wait for 2 more minutes unless we have another question in between.
If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 from your phone. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your phone.
Okay, so we haven't had any questions. The last couple of minutes, another 30 seconds to go. If we don't hear any more questions, then we'll wrap up the webinar.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 from your phone. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 from your phone.
Okay, looks like we don't have any more questions. So thank you very much for attending the webinar. And please use pbus@nsf.gov if you have any further questions until the deadline is over. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your participation in today's conference. You may disconnect at this time.